Hello and welcome to This Week in Bison Sports. I'm your host, Jason Pajak, and it's been an interesting couple weeks for the Bison so far. The football team started off 0-2 in a couple really tight games. First up against UBC and then last week against the University of Saskatchewan. And so I've got with me in the studio today one of said football players, quarterback Des Cattelier. Welcome to the show, Des.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So this weekend you're coming off the first two games, 0-2, and you're going to be taking on Alberta this week. So kind of just give me your perspective on going into this weekend and what it means for you guys.
This week our focus is just doing anything it can to come out with a win. Like, we've played well over two games. We've given ourselves a chance to win, but we just haven't been able to pull it through at the end of games. And so, like, that's our focus, is just find a way to win a game.
Yeah, and it's easy for people to look at the your record and say that something's not going right, but it definitely seems like things are going right. I was at the last game and was able to listen to the game before that, and it seems like there are things that are clicking. You know, your run game's been very good, and you've been throwing pretty well. So just kind of take me through just the last game and how you felt with your throw game, with the run game, like how you felt with the O-line in front of you and just how it went.
Yeah, I generally felt really comfortable. We were moving the ball. Like, in the pass game, we pretty much were able to get a lot of what we wanted. We were able to kind of dink and dunk down the field, get a couple shots deep, but like we were clicking on a lot of cylinders. I mean, there's always a couple plays you like to have back and stuff like that that doesn't work out, but that'll happen in a game, and we just got to go in the film room and fix that up a little bit. On the ground in the run game, like Jamel played a really good game, and we had Sompto come in for a little bit and play pretty well too. So we were getting what we wanted in the run game too, just being able to create second and short situations, which was big for our pass game. And our O-line's just been doing an amazing job this year, just all around.
You had a very interesting quote after the game talking about Macho's game and how they were trying to defend him. Can you take us kind of through how that was going?
Well, we had just we'd done scouting before, and we knew it was actually a guy from Winnipeg. He was an 18-year-old guy from Winnipeg, and you don't see a lot of 18-year-old guys start. And like, when you're an 18-year-old guy and you're starting, you're probably going to be a stud in the future. You're probably going to be amazing. But for right now, you're a young guy covering one of our best receivers. It's like, that's a matchup we wanted to take advantage of going into the week, and I think we proved that we did that.
And he had a very good game, you know, being defended by such a young player, and really you did a very good job of taking advantage of that. So it was a fantastic game to watch, and just kind of with Brad Mikuloff's kicking, how did you feel about his game this past weekend?
Brad's game?
Yeah.
He missed the one, I think, but I think he kicked four. I think he made four.
Yeah, at least four.
Yeah, something like that. So that's huge. I mean, he's always been just a cool cucumber, like just ready to go anytime. He always tells me just get the ball in the 50. I'm hitting the kick, and I trust that from him, and he always pulls through for that.
Okay. And what's been said in the dressing room heading into this weekend? What's kind of the game plan for you guys against Alberta?
I think we gotta keep doing what we're doing. I mean, we're doing a lot of great things, and we've been on the practice field trying to fix up those little mistakes, those plays here and there. I mean, one thing that's crazy is we haven't had any penalties, really, because usually when you're in this situation where you've played good and you haven't really got the wins, it's been like, hey, we got to fix up our penalties. That's probably what's been killing us, but penalties really have been a great thing for us. Like, we only had three penalties, I think, all of last game. So we're going to try and continue to stay disciplined and just keep doing what we're doing and do whatever it takes to win a football game.
Yeah, it was a very clean game last weekend. It turned into a bit of a track meet with the score getting up the way that it did. But it was quite a clean game. It was an exciting game, and people don't really realize how exciting those games are. But there was quite a crowd out for the home opener. How do you guys feel having, you know, fans in the stands cheering and just being so supportive of you guys?
It's amazing. It's a really good feeling, like just after a big play or something, when you hear the roar of the crowd. I mean, that just motivates you a little extra. That just amps you up a little bit, and yeah, I really appreciate everybody coming out. I mean, that's what we're all there for. It's an entertainment business as well, and we're there to entertain people, and I'm happy a lot of people were able to come out.
So the Bisons are kind of in the upswing, coming out of a few years of some disappointing seasons, and since you've taken over as the quarterback, you know, we've seen this progression trending upwards with the on-field production. How do you feel taking over that starting role and, you know, coming into this year being a little more solid and being a little more experienced?
I think the biggest thing for me was just my confidence coming into this year. I was just being able to get those five games out of the way last year, where there was definitely some ups and definitely some downs. Like it was a tough year all around, and getting thrown in to the season to kind of try and save our season, it was tough, and it was tough on me and our whole team in general. And there was definitely some struggles. And I think just this year coming in I felt so much more confident, got those games out of the way, like coming to the year as a starter, as a leader, and kind of give more of my input on certain things. And yeah, it just really started clicking for me this year.
Mm-hmm. And you really are a leader in that dressing room. Who else would you say is kind of a leader?
We have a couple different leaders for sure. We have a group of solid, like we have like a leadership group of 12 guys. But I say like the big guys on that is Jamel Lyles. Jamel is a big vocal leader, and he really cares about the team. He really cares about how we do, and he shows that, and he cares about the people as well, and that like. That really comes off as a great leader. And on the defense, like we got Jaden McCoy, fifth year, who's been around, who's seen a lot, and is just anchoring that defense right now and doing a great job. And also Derek Dufault. Derek Dufault is just maybe more the silent leader, but he goes in, he does his job every day, and people respect him for that.
And so Dylan Schrott's had a few good games as well. How do you feel connecting with him? Just between like the quarterback and receiver,
we have a really good connection going on. Back to I'm from Calgary, and he played on the Calgary Colts, so we had been throwing together even before he came out to the Bisons. We've been throwing together, and last year we even lived together, and we were able to get really, really on the same page. So I think that really helped what we're seeing on the field right now, is that connection before this season.
And what does that mean to you, having somebody, you know, from your hometown, somebody you've played with, come and join you kind of on this journey in university with the Bisons?
I mean, that's huge. That's just connections and chemistry is so big in football. So when you get to know somebody off the field, you can trust them on the field to do their job and be where you want them to be. And that's just a big thing for me.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you're from Calgary, and you know, a lot of people that watch or you hear about university sports in Canada, they kind of assume that most of the people are, you know, from wherever the team is. So they're assuming that lots of players are from Manitoba, but that's really not that true. So I kind of want to get to know your recruitment story and how you kind of got on the road to becoming University of Manitoba Bison.
Well, it probably started even maybe in 2014. They were recruiting my older brother really hard, and I was always kind of in those meetings, and they knew who I was, and so they talked to me, but it was like they were more at my brother. But I'd seen the program, I had met with Dobie a couple times, so we got to know each other a little bit. And then my brother did sign here and came here for a year. He redshirted that year, but and then he left back to Calgary after 1 year. But while he was there that year, like, I came out to Manitoba a couple times, got to come around the stadium, meet with Dobie one-on-one, and really felt like a great atmosphere around the team. And then that spring after my high school season, I committed here.
So it was kind of a serendipitous sort of thing. You know, you were exposed to the program through your brother, and it kind of just, it was almost meant to be that you would come here, and the fit was so great. Were there any other programs that were kind of knocking on your door, or was it kind of, did you have it made up in your mind that you were going to come to Manitoba?
No, I didn't have it really made up at all. And like my whole high school season, I had Regina was a big recruiter, and I really, really did think about Regina and Calgary. Calgary, I mean, I personally set out something for myself that I wanted to move away from home. I wanted to experience something other than Calgary, like move away. So Calgary recruited me, but I was never really thinking about going to Calgary, even though their football program is a very, very good football program. And Western was the other one. And personally, I just wanted to stay in the Canada West.
So going, you could go even further east than you decided to go.
Yeah.
So what really was the point that kind of pushed you over the edge and decided to come to Manitoba? Was it the experience that you'd had with the program already, or was there something else?
I think really it was just, it seemed like the perfect situation for me to come into. I loved the atmosphere. I met a bunch of the guys already. They really felt like good guys, the guys that could get to know and be my friends. And that's what it really comes down to. I want to be on a team that I like being around all the time. And that's what it's been for, this is my third year now, and I have no regrets at all. I mean, it's been a family atmosphere around the team.
Yeah, that is definitely the sense that you get when you go down there and you're around the dressing room and you see the guys running around joking with each other and, you know, poking their head into the media room when we're trying to do interviews and things like that. So really, did that help with your first couple years, kind of getting your feet under you, to have so many great people around, to have somebody like Brian Dobie, who's a very experienced coach and knows people and knows how to recruit? Like, how did that help with that, in the initial steps?
100% it helped. Like, coming in as an 18-year-old, you're intimidated. I mean, you're playing with men. You're not just a little guy anymore. Like, you're playing with men. It's intimidating. You're coming out and there's guys that are going to the CFL next year, like in your locker room. And the year before I came, Dave Onyemata just went to the NFL. So it's like your eyes get big. You're like, holy, like this is a whole another step now. But the transition was seamless. I mean, and a big part of that was Teo Dizar. Teo Dizar was an unbelievable mentor to me. Always accepted me. Always brought me. Always invited me to stuff he was doing. And we would have our receiver quarterback stuff. Like, so he was a big help to me in transitioning and feeling comfortable within the team. And yeah, just like Coach Brian Dobie is just one of the best guys I've ever met. And he brings in such good character guys to this team, and that's what creates that atmosphere.
And you mentioned David Onyemata going off to the NFL, and it's kind of something I wanted to bring up. So you know, coming into that year, you had David Onyemata go, and then the next year, Jeff Gray went off to the NFL, and now he's with the Cleveland Browns. What does that do, kind of as a player? Does that add any type of pressure, or does it kind of make it more exciting for you that you're at a program that has turned out not just CFL talent but NFL talent?
For me personally, I don't think it added pressure. I think it added a lot of excitement to be in a program that is pushing out NFL talent. I mean, there might be some people that took it as pressure, but I personally thought it was really cool that we were putting out these guys and getting to know Jeff for a year or two, playing like Jeff being in front of me, like seeing the work ethic of a guy that's going to the NFL. It was surreal, and it was really exciting to play with.
Yeah, I've known Jeff for a very long time. We went to elementary school together, and he was this really tall, very wiry guy, skinny, and then he went off to the U of W Collegiate, while the rest of our class basically went to Dakota Collegiate. And meeting up with him coming to university, he was just like, he had gotten like a foot taller and he was just filled out. He was a huge guy, and it was like, okay, yeah, he's definitely the kind of person you look at and you're like, you can do something. You're gonna be something. And it's really cool to see the success that he's had and going forward. So you get to play in Investors Group Field, which is this massive professional caliber stadium. Just for people that have never been on the field at IGF and actually been able to look up and hear the crowd and see everything, what does that feel like?
It's that's a feeling hard to describe when you're coming out of the tunnel at IGF. It's surreal. Like you feel like you're playing professional football. Like you get that feeling in your chest. Like it's like something kind of just takes over you, and it's amazing. I mean, I love it. I love every second of being out there at that field. I mean, it's a professional field, and that's the best it gets in our league. So it's mm-hmm. it's amazing.
Yeah, so it just gives you like a little bit of a feeling like, okay, I want to keep going. You get you a little bit excited for the prospect of like someday you being there as either like a Blue Bomber or coming back as a Rough Rider or a BC Lion or something.
Yeah, I mean, on game day, maybe I'm not really thinking about that as much, but sometimes in practices, I come out and look around and have those thoughts like that's like I want to be back here at the next level, and that's my goal, and that's a goal for a lot of guys on the team is to make that jump to the next level and come back to the old stadium where you used to play college ball and have a good game or see all your friends, family, or whatever, and in the old stadium, yeah, for sure.
So you are from Calgary, so I would not judge you if you said that the Stampeders would be like your top choice, but really, we got a lot of Blue Bomber fans here in Manitoba, of course, so what would it mean for you to come back and be a Blue Bomber?
To be a Blue Bomber, it would mean so much to me to make a CFL roster in the first place. But being a Blue Bomber I've always followed him. My dad's from here, so it would be a really good feeling. I mean, I'm not going to say that the Calgary Stampeders wouldn't be my childhood dream to go play for the Calgary Stampeders, and that wouldn't be just something surreal to me, because I've been following the Stampeders since I was 4 years old. My mom's a super fan of the Calgary Stampeders. I mean, that would just mean absolutely everything to me. But I mean, just making any CFL roster would be a dream come true.
So we're going to just go off to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back here with Des Catelier on This Week in Bison Sports.
Calgary Quintet Ruben in the Dark as they make their return to Winnipeg on Saturday, October 27th, bringing their exquisite live show to the West End Cultural Center. The group makes chilling, emotive folk and soul driven by dark, introspective lyrics that explore the duality of misery and joy. With 5 members scattered across Western Canada, Ruben in the Dark has emerged organically from Canada's stellar independent scene and boasting a rare chemistry that translates the language of emotion into song with haunting clarity. Tickets are moving fast and are on sale now for $20.50 plus fees, available through Ticketfly, the West End, and the Winnipeg Folk Festival office. Here all year, don't miss top-notch Calgary act Ruben in the Dark at the West End on Monday, October 27th. Brought to you by the Winnipeg Folk Festival, the West End Cultural Center, and proudly supported by UMFM 101.5.
And welcome back to This Week in Bison Sports. So before we get back to talking to Des about you know, the year and everything, I just want to quickly do a little bit of a plug here for a charity that is very close to my heart. I promised that I would do this at least once this year. Every summer, I get the opportunity to go to a place called Camp Quality, and it is a camp where we bring in children that have been affected by childhood cancer, whether they've had it themselves or their siblings have had it, and they get to spend a week with some very amazing people and have amazing experiences and remember what it's like to be a kid. And everything that runs through that camp is done by the generosity of everyday people. And we are having 2 fundraisers this month. On the 18th, we are having a golf tournament. And sometime later in the month, we are having an event called Axe Cancer. We'll be doing some axe throwing and collecting donations. So all the details for those can be found on the Camp Quality Manitoba Facebook page. So if anybody would like to sign up to play in the golf tournament, sign up a team for the axe throwing, it would mean the world to everybody involved. So all details are on the Camp Quality Facebook page. So Des, we were talking a little bit outside about what I plan to do with this show, and it's to, you know, get to know athletes a little bit more. And we've talked about kind of your journey to come to the Bisons, your hopes for the future. And I want to kind of turn the clock back even further. So what really got you involved with football in the first place?
Well, at first I was big into hockey. Like, I started hockey when I was 5 years old and took hockey really seriously until maybe about grade 9. I think I picked up football at, like, when I was in grade 7. And did the overlap of that for a little bit. But I played really high-level hockey, took hockey really seriously. And like, as a kid, my childhood dream was really to go to the NHL. And just I went to – well, my brother started playing football, too, a couple of years before I did. At he played for the Cochrane Lions and then went to St. Francis. And so then I saw him do it, and then 1 year in hockey, I didn't make the higher team that I wanted to, so I might have had a little extra time on my hands, and I just thought, why not try out football? I mean, I've always loved watching football. I've always watched the CFL, always watched the Stamps play. So I went out, tried it out, and after my first practice was the starting quarterback on the team, and like just loved it ever since then. And
it turns out you're pretty good at it.
Yeah, it turns out I wasn't too bad at it, and took a couple of years for me to really set in that I was liking football more than hockey. But once I made that transition to take football seriously and want to take football somewhere, was probably around high school, and I never really looked back from there.
So you didn't really have that traditional, like, two-sport athlete crossroads where you had to pick, oh, do I go off in this direction and try and make the WHL, or do I try and, you know, eventually make it to the CFL and be a professional football player?
No, I was kind of off hockey before I was in a WHL kind of thing. Like, when I was younger, I would definitely played with a lot of guys that are in the WHL and NHL now. Like, I played pretty high level. But I quit hockey by the earlier stages, so I didn't have to make too hard of a decision.
Okay, and really, we talked briefly about kind of you wanting to go pro at some point in your career. Like, is that in the back of your mind, kind of when you're playing, that this is the step, this is the road that I'm going to take to eventually get there?
Yeah, 100%. It is. It's the step in between from kind of like your high school, then you go to college, then you go to the pros, and this is a step in that direction. But while I'm here, I'm completely focused on what we're doing here, and I want to win while I'm here. I want to win a Vanier Cup, and that's ultimately, if I keep my focus on that and keep my mind on that and away from the CFL will come, the pro opportunities will come if I focus on what we have to do now. Because what happens is the CFL teams, they watch the Vanier Cup, they watch the Hardy Cup, they watch the East-West Bowl. Mm-hmm. They watch the big games. They're not watching every single one of your games necessarily. So you gotta be completely focused. You gotta be completely all in on your season and make the most out of your season. And that's how I've always approached football, is I want to win with the team I'm on now and not worry about the future and let the future take care of itself when that comes.
And that's definitely the type of attitude, that competitiveness and that all-encompassing drive that you really need to be successful in whatever level that you're doing. So we also talked outside about your education, because you are a student athlete, and as people like to say, the student should come first. So kind of give everybody an idea of where you're at with schooling and things.
So I'm in kinesiology. This is my first year in it. I took in my first 2 years, I was in University 1 trying to get into kinesiology. So it's my first year kind of taking the more nitty-gritty classes, and I'm enjoying it so far. I think it's very interesting. It's going towards something that I want to do. Like, eventually after a kinesiology degree, I want to do an education and be sort of like a gym teacher. And so I'm really enjoying what I'm doing in school right now, because I know it's something I want to do after football.
Mm-hmm. It's always good to have, you know, you can have the dream and you can have the journey that you're on, but there is something that comes after that, and a lot of athletes have struggled with what comes after, and that's why I feel that going the college route with sports, you know, whether it's football, hockey, basketball, volleyball, whatever it is, doing that, going that road where you still have, you go get your education, you find something that outside of sports that you love to do, it really helps not only when your career is over, but really in your downtime. When you're not on the field, you're not prepping for a game or a practice, when you have that little bit of quiet time to yourself and you have to figure out something to do, it's really important to have something that you enjoy and have something that really keeps your interest. Is beyond your education, is there anything kind of you like to do on the side? Is it Fortnite? Is that
no? I'm not a big video game at all. I've never been a big video game. Honestly, I just like to try and hang out with some of the guys on the team. Just keep my mind off a couple things and just hang out. I don't have any crazy hobbies. I'm trying to think of a couple right now. Nothing crazy. I've never ever been into video games really that much. And yeah, like you said, with the downtime, is that really helps in the off season, being able to focus on school and enjoy something, because my first year, after my first year in the off season, I really struggled with like, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just sitting here. I didn't love the classes that I was in necessarily, so I didn't want to go home and do any homework. So like, it's tough. Like, it's a long off season, and like, you got to find a couple things that you're passionate about that you want to do in your off time and stuff. Mm-hmm. And one thing I love to do is I like watching TV. I have certain TV shows that I get really into, for sure.
Yeah, so like kind of probably like Breaking Bad type, Game of Thrones.
My favorite one's Westworld. It's an HBO one as well. That's my favorite one.
A friend of mine's been harping on me to watch that show, and I definitely should. I've been sitting there like, I don't know. It's another long one that I have to get into, and Game of Thrones is coming back, and that's going to eat up a lot of my time. So do you think I should?
100% should watch Westworld. It's unreal.
Yeah, the thing about having good people around is what's great about the Bisons, and it cuts across all the teams, is that it's great character people. You know, Brian isn't the only, you know, the only coach or recruiter here that can mine out these great character people. He does it very well, and he's done a great job of it over his career. But really, the Bisons really become a family, and it's a great support. Like you said, in the off season when you're trying to figure things out and figure out what to do, you've got all this time on your hands, and it's great to have people around that you can spend that time with. And it also comes right back around with the sport. Like, having those connections and having that chemistry with everybody is really, really great. Mm-hmm. And it makes the on-field product better.
Yeah, for sure.
So just a quick, before we wrap up here, we've got about a minute left. So, Dez, is there anywhere anybody can find you on social media?
At Dez Cotelier on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, you were lucky. You got the good one.
I got the good one. Yeah.
All right.
Got it when I was early.
You know, early days.
Early days, yeah.
So you can follow Dez at Dez Cotelier on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
Instagram and Twitter. You can find me at Jason Pajak on Twitter as well as Instagram. It's JasonPchajek. For all your Bisons news and recaps, you can catch them on bisonsports.com. And for any deeper dives for news, recaps, interviews, and analysis, you can get all of that from themanitoban.com or a physical copy on newsstands near you. Thanks, everybody.